Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You know
it's Taz and Moose. Hey. It is Taz and the Moose on this Thursday morning. CBS Sports Radio, as we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National Mortgage Lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently. You've got Pete and Mike across the way, Bogish with your updates. We got an hour left to play with. Coming your way at 8:20 a.m. Eastern time, about 20 minutes from now, we're going to talk to former Patriots linebacker, two-time Super Bowl champ, Rob Ninkovich is going to join Taz and myself. So looking forward to that and get his thoughts as the championship game, championship Sunday for both the NFC and AFC is quickly approaching as we are less than 4 days away. So look forward to what will be, who will be the combatants in Super Bowl 53 down in Atlanta. All right, top of the third and final hour. Let's get to the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Kyrie Irving called LeBron James to apologize for being young and foolish.
Yeah, let's hear from Irving himself. This was after last night's Celtic victory over the Raptors.
It was a big deal for me because I had to call Bron, you know, and tell him, like, you know, I apologize for being that young player that wanted to everything at his, you know, at his fingertips, and I wanted everything to be at, you know, my threshold. I wanted to be the guy that led us to the championship. I wanted to be the leader. I wanted to be all that, and, you know, the responsibility of being the best player in the world and leading a team is something that's not meant for many people, and Bron was one of those guys that came to Cleveland and tried to really show us what it's like to win a championship, and it was hard for him, and sometimes getting the most out of the group, it's not the easiest thing in the world. And like I said, only few are meant for it or chosen for it. And, you know, I feel like the best person to call was him because, you know, he's been in the situation. You know, he's been there with me where I've been the young guy of, you know, being a 22-year-old kid and, you know, wanting everything. Wanting everything right now, you know, coming off an all-star year starting. And then, you know, this heck of a presence comes back. And now I got to adjust my game to this guy. And, you know, you take it personal, but at the end of the day, he just wants what's best. And he has a legacy he wants to leave, and he has a window he wants to capture. So I think what that brought me back to is, like, all right, how do I get the best out of this group of the success they had last year and then helping them realize what it takes to win a championship?
Yeah. This is the scene we were talking about. It's very self-serving. I mean, what he's doing here. I think he means well. I think he thinks he's doing the right thing, Kyrie. But it came off.
I don't think he knows any better.
Yeah, it's exactly. I mean, we got deep into the woods on this earlier. So.
Yeah, we did. It's just nonsense. Yeah. And people giving Kyrie credit for maturing, growing up, what leadership he's showing. I mean, it was 18 months ago where he was acting like a baby. And who had his pacifier taken away because he wasn't the star in Cleveland. The Cavalier fan this morning has got to be weeping.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to be kidding me. Now you see the light of day?
Yeah.
Now you do? When LeBron's calling you, guys are calling you, you won't even return texts or phone calls at the end of your Cavalier career when you requested a deal, wanted out in Cleveland? Now you see the light of day with the Boston Celtics? And, you know, LeBron is also in the position of power. You know, he handled his departure well in Cleveland. Kyrie Irving did not. Irving's trying to win in Boston, and here is Irving call LeBron James, Taz, and asking for help. And LeBron takes the high road and gives him or offers him the advice that he is seeking. But I mean, in the same stuff. Number one, the other aspect is: do you really need to make it public?
No, exactly.
Do we really need to know that Kyrie Irving?
Yeah, that's what we're saying earlier.
Like, chatted with LeBron James and asked for advice for LeBron.
It's like, it's a way I feel for Kyrie to put out there. Look at me, I'm more mature now, and I'm the same level. I'm just like LeBron. We are both awesome, amazing players, team can't win without us individually. Okay, yes, Kyrie, you scored 27 points last night. You beat a good Raptors team. Yes, you guys won 117 to 108. You came back. You guys were losing. I got it. You played really good. You're a great player. You're not LeBron James.
No.
So he can act like him and LeBron, because that's a net sound. That's what he said. He more or less says there's only a few of us that get this opportunity.
Yeah, right.
Like, come on, bro, please. Yeah, and I like Kyrie, but it's like, come on.
So do I. I like watching Irving play.
He's really good.
And I had more of an issue than you did the way that he orchestrated his oust during Cleveland.
Yeah,
and,
he wanted to be the best player on the team, and he couldn't do that in Cleveland.
But he also could win.
Right. Well, I know.
You could win a lot.
Yeah, no, you and I remember back when we discussed this a lot.
So he takes his basketball and goes to Boston as a Celtic. The Cavaliers make an atrocious trade with the Boston Celtics as well. And now there's the fallout in Cleveland, and Kyrie now sees the light and says, LeBron, help me out here.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
LeBron's got to be like, are you serious?
And the thing, too, there's the components, the athletes, the players that are around, you mentioned this earlier, that are around Kyrie in Boston are a lot different than what were around LeBron in Cleveland.
Well, he's got a better team.
Absolutely. With Kyrie Tatum and Morris and Smart and these guys, Horford, it's a better team.
He's got a better team up in Boston. They've underachieved.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah,
if Irving's leading that team, time to get leading. Time to get going. The time is now. And think about LeBron. What an ego stroke that must be.
Yeah.
Now, you got to think about LeBron. He gets the phone call. He's like, man, I haven't heard from this cat in years.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, there's Kyrie. Hey, LeBron, I'm sorry.
He's probably told
sorry the way
Kyrie
that it ended
called.
In Cleveland. I apologize. By the way, I need some help.
Kyrie caved. He's probably told his wife, LeBron. Probably says, Kyrie just caved.
Yeah, you caved. Are. Right. You are the king.
I'm the best player in the world.
Yeah, buddy. That's awesome.
You are the king.
You're the king.
That's not just a nickname. It's true. You're the king of the NBA.
Oh, my God. Remember we put the thing out on social media. You were talking about it. You went on a little thing about LeBron James when he walked through the LA Rams locker room. And he's a Cowboy fan, right?
Yes.
So now I see them on Twitter like, well, he had to use the restroom. So the closest one was in the Rams locker room. We're joking around. Relax. Loosen your tie, sir or ma'am or whatever you are.
But not just stop.
Like
right. Laugh okay? a little bit.
Just not laugh.
Like, right, so you mean to tell me is what the entire building, the closest
it's
bathroom?
No bathroom.
The closest bathroom is walking through the Rams locker room? Get lost.
No,
come on.
This guy's
get
a grown
here.
Man. It's like, I really got to go to the bathroom now. What is he, six?
Right.
Like, he can't hold it in to go to the Cowboys bathroom?
No, not just that.
How about a public bathroom?
Right, he just left the luxury box.
Yeah, they probably have urinals all over that place.
Right, here would be my, as Kyrie asked LeBron for advice, here's my advice to LeBron. Tinkle before you go.
And don't drink too much water.
Right.
At a game.
That's what I always tell my sons before you get in the car. Tinkle before you go.
Well, my son is little, but I always make sure he was hydrated. Just hydrate.
They're hydrated. I understand.
Just go to bed before we get in the car.
The worst thing is when you leave the driveway and 5 minutes into the drive. Daddy, I got to go to bed.
I got to go to bed.
Why didn't we go before we left?
Do like my old man used to do. We pull over the side of the road. There's a tree.
We've done that.
Over here for you. Right on the parkway.
We've done that.
Six years old, walking on the Bell Parkway.
Jackson and Paul, they love to urinate in public.
Yeah, that's nice. Raising those boys well. Well, the little kids, that's fun.
That is.
It is.
That is. You're exactly right.
Ah, here we go.
Next.
Number two.
Jalen Hurts transferring to Oklahoma.
Yeah, so he entered the transfer portal. He's grad transfer, already graduated from Alabama. Handled himself well when he was a member of the Crimson Tide. Handled his benching well and losing out on that job to Tua. Last year, gets taken out at halftime against the Georgia Bulldogs, and Tua leads them to a national championship. He steps in for an injured Tua this year in the SEC title game, Taz, and orchestrates that comeback. 26-2 as a starter for the Alabama Crimson Tide. As good of a young man as you could have representing your program, to the point where Nick Saban, not the most emotional guy in the world, was brought to tears after the SEC championship game, talking about his discussing his affection and how proud he was of Jalen Hurts. And now he's an Oklahoma Sooner. The Sooners program just got better yesterday with this announcement, and I'm going to be rooting for him to have a bang-up year. I hope he lights college football up.
Me too. I'm definitely – he's a hard guy not to root for, Jalen Hurts, because he's done the right thing. And, Now him going into Oklahoma, I mean, it's also, this really helps, you know, this really helps the Oklahoma football program if and when, it's probably a good chance, they're going to play Alabama next year in the playoff. Because both teams are going to be really strong again.
Yep.
You know, so you got to look at a guy like Hurts. He's a two-year starter, nevertheless, the quarterback. He knows that offensive scheme immensely. Now, we know Alabama, Nick Saban is a big turnover of coaches. That's going on now. And Nick Saban's far from a dumb guy. So he probably figured once he eventually did bench Jalen Hurts and went with Tua, you know, he probably realized, well, if this kid ever does transfer, you know, he knows what I'm doing. These coaches have guys transfer all the time, but this is a kid who's transferred that was the main guy on your team until Tua came along in that national championship game. So this is a guy who, like you said, was 26-2 for you. So if you're Alabama, it's a little concerned that he's now, you know, he's in a different conference, sure, the Big 12, but still, you could be running into Lincoln Riley's Sooners if you're Nick Saban next year. But it's a great thing for this kid. I think that he looks at Lincoln Riley, the head coach of Oklahoma, like Coach Riley knows the secret sauce to get a Heisman Trophy and put a guy high in the NFL. Look at Baker Mayfield. Look at Kyler Murray. So Jalen Hurts is like, well, look at me. I'm going to do it too. And Jalen Hurts is older. And he's got a lot of experience, bro.
Yep.
And he's going to do well for the Sooners, man.
Yeah, I agree with you. He's going to have every opportunity to be a successful quarterback
and
prove a lot of the naysayers wrong that he can't throw the football consistently. So it's interesting when you look at these transfers, high impactful guys. You know, Fields, the former Georgia quarterback, going to Ohio State. Now you have Jalen Hurts going from Alabama to Oklahoma. It's going to be interesting to watch Hurts at Oklahoma and Fields at Ohio State.
Correct, man. And you know what we didn't talk about earlier, you know, about in regards to Jalen Hurts, is his motivation.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to be so motivated to not just prove Coach Saban wrong and the Alabama program, but in the Alabama fan base, which is massive, but college football fans in general and the NFL. This kid, Jalen Hurts, you could just imagine the chip on his shoulder, man. So I respect the guy with a chip on his shoulder. I think it's
good. Proof to everybody that he can throw it and throw it consistently.
Yeah.
And see if he can get himself in the Heisman race next year and what will be, once again, a high-octane Oklahoma offense.
Number three.
James Harden's historic run continues.
Well, before we talk about James Harden, I have to say, what happened there, ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to go to the transition to the next one. And it's not your fault, Moose. You know, our timing was off, and you put your hand. But see, when I do that, like, they don't respond. The guys behind the glass, Pete and Mike, they just kind of look at me. And it's just like I'm just throwing, like a quarterback throwing the ball. But then when you put your hand up, it's like you're holding the golden football.
Yeah.
And they see it. And it's like, well, Moose has got a hand up.
Oh, it's going to be the king.
Yeah. That's how it works, right? That's how you're the king.
Yes.
See, even the board operator, that was Pete the Body. He admitted it. But I go like this with my hand. They stare at me like, why is Taz raising his hand? Why is he? And nothing. Look, I'm waving my arm right now. Nothing's happening.
Well, there's nothing to throw to.
There's nothing. That's true.
There's nothing to throw to. So.
Still, look. You do that?
Right.
If you did that now.
Right. You're doing the Florida State chop.
They would do.
Play the Seminole War chant.
If you did that with your hand. If you did that with your hand, they would do something. Something else would play. I don't know what would happen. But you put your hand up. The golden football's up.
James Harden,
boom.
18 straight games or 30 or more points, Daz, as he goes well above 50 last night in an overtime loss at home against the Brooklyn Nets.
Yes.
Congratulations to
Mikey
Billy,
B.
Biseglia, all those guys that are there.
Billy's a Nets fan?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, him and Mikey B were tweeting back and forth to each other.
Oh. Maybe I should throw Billy a follow on a Twitter.
Hey, Mike, we've got ourselves a basketball team. And Mike's like, yeah, Billy, you're right.
Is that what he said?
See you in 3 hours.
Yeah, I swear to you. Yes. I swear to you. Yes.
God, I missed that.
I'm not lying. God. So anyway, so Harden, I mean, he walks on every step-back jumper. But he's an unbelievable individual offensive player. And there's not a lot of times where you get great regular season games out of nowhere. Taz, last night was a great regular season game in which Atkinson and Brooklyn went toe-to-toe with a team that had gone on a tremendous run, 15-5 in their last 20 games. Harden playing like the MVP of the league. He's averaging nearly 35 points per game. He put on an absolute show last night, but Brooklyn was able to survive, and Harden is must-see TV right now in the NBA.
Yeah, no doubt. And I overheard you and Mike talk before the show in the newsroom area. Couldn't miss it because you guys were basically screaming loud. About the beard, right? So James Harden's got the funky beard. I think it was Mike was saying it off-air, how he doesn't even look athletic. He looks slow, and that's true. I agree with both of you guys that you're saying off-air. because he you look at Harden, he doesn't look like your prototypical pro athlete, nevertheless NBA player. And I don't know if it's the beard. I don't know if it's just his the way he moves. He's very unorthodox. But yet he's insane as a shooter and his talent. Like, he's just, it's unbelievable the stuff he's doing and what he's doing in the box scores, man. It really is something else, even though they lost the game. But still, he is something else, man. There's
yeah,
no doubt.
He is. And he's able to get to wherever he needs to go on the court, whether it be, you know, a little shimmy and shake, get guys off balance. He's not Russell Westbrook or LeBron James athletically, Taz. But
Steph Curry.
He's a really effective offensive player. He's not a complete player because he's not a great defender. But offensively, and that's where the game is in the NBA, he's as good as it gets right now, averaging nearly 35 points per game.
It's unbelievable.
And the Houston Rockets last night, this is what something I don't like. They attempted 73s. I mean, that's embarrassing.
Jeez. 73s?
An NBA record. 73-point
73
attempts.
Points?
Yes. That's it. Oh,
move the rock.
Right.
Here's your help. Give me a look. Move the ball. Jeez.
Oh, all right. Wow. So set a new NBA record. I don't like that trend, but that trend continues to go up and up here.
Yeah, no, it is.
For
that's
the NBA. More and more threes. Embrace it. And that's not going anywhere.
We're Houston sitting fifth, I think, in the fifth in the West, right?
In the Western Conference.
Yeah.
But they've rebounded. They're off to that really sluggish start, remember?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Wow. Rob Ninkovich.
Oh.
Former Patriots linebacker, Taz.
Yes.
Really good.
I remember him. Good player.
Really good player.
Yep.
Two-time Super Bowl champ is going to join us next as we'll delve into the AFC championship game, a little Patriots football. We'll do that next. Taz, Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, we're rocking and rolling, baby.
We are. Rob Ninkovich is going to join us here. Yes. Well, that's often the case, right? Podcast. Radio.com, Apple Podcast.
Yeah, that's right. What, this show or my show?
No, well, both shows.
That's right. Well, Taz and the Moose, you get it on the podcast. You get the podcast, Apple Podcasts. You get it on radio.com.
Correct.
On the app or the website. I think if you're an Android user, Podcast Addict is a real good app that you can get for, you know, and Google Podcast.
Use it every day.
You have an iPhone, though. That's a little confusing, but okay. I get your point.
No, I have another Android device.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. This is new information. What? So you have two phones?
No. I have another.
One for the ladies, one for the.
I don't have two phones.
Ladies, it's a married man. You know what this? AB, you know what he's got two phones for?
SNY,
right.
Everything else.
For all different shows, he groups them into different, either iPhone or Android.
No, I didn't tell you I'm a superhero.
You didn't tell me.
Take it away.
I don't know how I didn't realize that. Makes sense.
It's like the bat phone.
I'm a superhero.
Only awesome. Former Giants can call you.
There we go.
Hide your cape? Andrew, take it away.
Oh, thanks, Taz. Because 57 points against Memphis earlier this week wasn't good enough, James Harden scored 58 last night with the Nets in Brooklyn, but Spencer Dinwiddie spoiled all the fun.
Now Dinwiddie out high on the right. Dinwiddie driving it in the paint. Bump, shoot, scores, and a foul is called. Dinwiddie will go to the line with a chance at a three-point play.
Chris Carino on Nets Radio. The ensuing free throw from Dinwiddie put the Nets ahead for good. They won in Houston in OT 145-142. With Dinwiddie scoring 25 points in the fourth and overtime. As for Harden, that's now 18 in a row with at least 30 points, 40 or more in 9 of his last 12. And oddly enough, not even one of his 115 points over those last two games came off an assist. A career-high 18 assists last night for Kyrie Irving. He did some scoring, too, against the Raptors.
Kyrie, crazy deep three.
Kyrie, spit on him, brother. You spit in the whale.
Kyrie.
Somebody give me a diaper, man. I just did something.
Oh, my God.
Sen Maxwell, Sean Grandy, Celtics radio. Irving scored 10 of his 27 in the fourth as Boston put away Toronto 117-108. The Jazz on a season-long five-game run after a 129-109 final at the Clippers. Milwaukee a 111-101 win in Memphis, and the Warriors outscored the Pelicans 147-140. Six straight wins for Golden State. 41 points from Steph Curry. An NBA single-game record, 43 combined threes from the teams. College Hoops, peace out. Number 8, Texas Tech.
Culver over to the left side. Mooney will fire a three, and it's no good. And Iowa State comes into Lubbock and wins it over number 8, Texas Tech. What an impressive win for Steve Prohm's team.
John Walters from Learfield. The Red Raiders taking their first Big 12 loss of the season from Steve Prohm's Iowa State Cyclones, 68-64. Number 14, Auburn handled Texas A&M, 85-66. Number 21, Houston winning at SMU, 69-58. And number 23, Iowa fought off Penn State, 89-82. Former Alabama QB Jalen Hurts picking Oklahoma over Maryland and Miami. Serena and Venus Williams are through to the Australian Open third round. Serena took out Jeannie Bouchard 6-2, 6-2 today. Novak Djokovic has taken the first two sets from Joe Wilfried Tsonga. And the NHL and its Players Association said yesterday there'll be no World Cup of Hockey in 2020, but they hope to bring the event back in the farther future as part of a larger international calendar.
Why did they decide to get rid of it?
I didn't see an actual reason as to why they weren't going to do it specifically, but it's just, it's not dead yet, but it ain't happening in the next cycle.
Well, yeah, okay. I was just curious. I like World Cup Hockey is usually a great event.
It was fun. I thought that like the Young Guns team was good, but also a little strange. Remember they had that weird like under 23 team?
Yes, yes.
Like I'd rather have like America needs those guys on the American roster.
Right, right, right. I went to the one when I was in college, 98. Was it 98 or
no, 96?
96 World Cup of Hockey.
The historic one.
The historic one. I was at the deciding game up in Montreal.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I'm jealous.
Yes.
The game on my DVR.
Yes, that was it. And we met the me and my two buddies from Cuse met the entire United States team afterward as they were walking out.
Nice.
Richter, Madonna.
No partying?
Hull. No, no party. They were great, though. It was an.
I'll tell you this, though.
There was no greater atmosphere. You walked out of there, you walked into there, and the Canadian hockey fan was ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, no. That's.
Was insane. Totally. Like, insane going into that, walking around that building, having some beers beforehand and whatever. You know, lighting the United States jersey on fire.
Oh, no, dude. Forget
running around. It was one of the best atmospheres I've ever been in.
I've wrestled a lot in Toronto. I wrestled up where, what's the building? Molson Center, where the Canadians play.
Yeah. The Bell Center.
Right. I've worked in those buildings, right? So now, a lot of times you go in the night before and go to the hockey game. And you're right.
Which is great.
Dude, they are like.
That's an awesome experience.
Yeah, I'm not sitting there wearing an Islander hat, you know.
I know.
In this country, Canada.
I know.
I'm sitting there wearing like a Mets hat. Because I don't even know what that is.
What's that symbol?
I'm an astronaut. Oh, okay. Hey. You want some Molson
and
some beef?
Well, but it's funny.
Canadians love beef and beer.
We think our football fans are crazy, and they are. And, college football fans, NFL fans. You go up there, it's just different.
Yeah,
I mean, you see a game in Toronto. Now, I've not been to Vancouver. I've not been to Calgary, not been to Winnipeg. But Toronto and Montreal, and especially Montreal, you see a hockey game there, and the home team's playing, and it's a big-time rivalry game. Like I mentioned, I was at the World Cup of Hockey in 96. It's amazing. It's an unbelievable experience. It's one thing you got to do if you're a big sports fan before you leave this.
Yeah. What'd you say? Say it one more time.
I said it's one thing if on your bucket list, if you're a big sports fan, that you got to do before you leave us.
Yes.
Yeah.
He said something else.
No.
I was multitasking.
I understand. Thanks for paying attention.
No, I was doing stuff for the show.
I focus when you're speaking.
No, I know you do, but I multitask. I do a lot of things.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Okay. I guess it doesn't matter because I'm doing 10 things.
The show is the most important thing.
I know it is. Of course it is.
What do you think I said?
There's nothing more important than you, Moose, when you're working and I'm
working
with you.
Do you believe me? Is that what I said?
What? If you're a sports fan, the one thing you got to do, you want to question me, you can question me.
No,
we can play this game. I'll go one day with you.
I'm not asking you, do you believe that's what I said? Or do you think I said something different
because I knew
you weren't paying attention?
I think you said something different.
No, I said
that. You tricked me.
I said that. I knew you were not paying attention.
That's nice.
Because I looked over.
Good work with your partner.
No, because I looked over and you were like.
Well, because I'm actually emailing the media people to make sure, because Mikey B was busy, the social media team and the digital media person on the Dynaflow.
Taz, you're on top of it. I love you, bro.
I'm sinking here.
No, you're not sinking. It's all AB's good.
AB's got a baby face on. What's the matter? You all right, boo-boo? Boo-boo face?
He's okay.
You okay, buddy?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. Okay. You look sad.
All right. Andrew, great job this morning.
Moose, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You appreciate the hard work.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, pal.
I'm Andrew Bogish.
You got the AFC-NFC championship games. We did a 1v1 earlier on in the program. Make sure to hop online at Taz and the Moose and give us a vote. So we whittled it down on Tuesday. We did the AFC quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady. You voted Mahomes slightly over Tom Brady. Then we did the NFC quarterbacks yesterday. And it was Drew Brees and Jared Goff, and by an overwhelming margin, I think 89% was the final number, after hundreds and hundreds and thousands voted, it ended up being Drew Brees your victor, and not surprising. Now the vote is between Brees and Patrick Mahomes. Where are you going to go? Myself, Taz, Mikey B, all went with Patrick Mahomes. Pete the Body, Bilotti across the way went with Drew Brees. So want to hear from you. And hit us up on social media. We'll have the results on tomorrow's program. And we're getting a big Football Friday program as well. Have some NFL picks and continue to break down the NFC and AFC championship games. So what's going to be, you know, two great atmospheres, Taz. I like it when, you know, and football stadiums, especially when an AFC and NFC title game is on the line, are always great atmospheres. But there are some that are special.
Right, right.
And the Dome down in New Orleans is a special atmosphere. And Arrowhead, late in the season, when they're fans and it's a sea of red, it's a special atmosphere. And I think we're going to get two great games. I think it's the four best teams that are left standing. Mm. I think either of the four, you can make an argument to win. If someone called up and said, I think the Rams are going to win, I'm not going to fight you off. The Saints are going to win. Patriots have their backers. The Chiefs are going to have their supporters. I think the games can go either way. And I think all four teams have got weaknesses the other team could take advantage of. I think it's going to be a great NFL Sunday.
I agree. And you're right. And when you say all four teams are the best final four teams, it'd be tough to argue that. It really would. They're not going to be easy games to pick. They're not. And all four teams, like you said, do have some weaknesses. That's any team. Any great team has a little bit of weakness. But I'm just saying, man, I think we're in for, I'm sad that it's going to end here. It's almost over, the NFL season, you know. This is, once you go into these conference championships.
You got three games left.
It's disappointing. So, you know, we're all going to be locked in as a football nation at 3:05 p.m. Eastern, or E, as we call it, to watch that Rams-Saints game. And then, now, I wish it was flipped, though. I wish the Saints-Rams game was in the evening and the AFC game, the Pats and the Chiefs, I wish that was earlier, the early game.
I do.
I don't know why. I just feel like it always seems like, this might sound weird, that the AFC games are always earlier than the NFC games, usually, like as far as the football season.
Last year's Jaguars-Patriots game, that was the late game.
Jaguars-Patriots was the late game. That the AFC
that
was the late
yeah,
game.
Because that finished under the lights up that. At Fox, up at, I believe, yeah, that was the late game,
I
right?
mean, like, in the, I think it was. I mean, like, the regular season, Moose. The regular season. Like, I'm a Bills fan, and the Bills are always on at 1 p.m. Eastern. Okay? When I was a Jet fan, the Jets were always on at 1 p.m. Eastern. Like,
right.
But most of the times. And I always felt like, for years, the Giants, you know, living in New York, the Giants were the 4 p.m. game. You know, 4 p.m. Eastern game. That's what I mean. So I guess I'm kind of trained. I'm a creature of habit, like most humans, and I guess I'm trained that the AFC's usually earlier. This has nothing to do with Sunday, by the way.
I gotcha. I mean, I like it because it's going to be cold. It's going to be a great stadium, natural field. I think it's the sexier matchup because of the Patriots.
You'd have a You're going to be working, you're going to be home watching these games.
Second game, I'm going to be at an appearance, but I'm going to be locked in the game.
I know you'll be locked in. I know that. Yeah. Because I'm asking, because I was going to ask you if you're going to have a little adult pop during the game. But you're not. You're going to be working. So
no,
you can't.
I'm going to be working. No adult beverage.
I'll be at the house. That's why I need people to tell me what drink I should have. I'm going to just be pounding drinks. And I wanted to do it during the early game so that I could sober up to come to work the next day.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's a problem. If I show up hungover.
Well, you can't be doing that, right?
No.
You got to pace yourself. We got a hold of Rob Ninkovich. He's going to join us next. It's Taz and the Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all right now at geico.com. Taz the Moose with you on this Thursday morning on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah.
Sirius and XM 206 app as well.
I'll tell you this right now. Sitting here watching some highlights on all the different sports that happened last night. And you could just feel a momentum now of the NBA coming. This is when I start to really sink my teeth in the NBA, because I just said the last segment, you and I were just talking, my friend the Moose, that the NFL, it's kind of like, you know, it's three games left.
That's it.
You know? Two conference championships, Super Bowl Jones, thanks for coming. You know, so college football's done right now. So now you're seeing all the NBA hype on TV.
NBA, NHL, and college basketball
gets us
to the summer.
That's exactly right.
And then baseball.
Yeah, I'm going to be locked in more in baseball this year than I normally am. I'm usually busy with other things in sports. But this year, I'm gonna dedicate myself to my Mets more than I normally do.
And we're just 23 days away from the Alliance for American Football.
Yeah, I can't wait
for
the
beginning.
That. Really fired up about that.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. One of the guys, real quick story. The XFL starting in 2020.
Yeah.
Another football league.
Yeah.
And owned by Vince McMahon, right? And it's the second rebirth of the XFL. And a guy, which is interesting, who wrestles for New Japan Pro Wrestling. He's a great wrestler. Okay, him and his brother. And he played football. I can't recall where he played in college. I can't remember right now. He hasn't played football in, it's got to be 4 or 5 years, I think. Tama Tonga, his name is, okay? They called him. He tweeted that they called him. The XFL contacted him to play.
Nice.
Well, it is nice, but I'm a little nervous because I'm like, wow, homeboy hasn't played in a long time, but, you know, we'll see.
Well, that's good.
It is good.
We'll see if he's part of the XFL
see what happens.
In 2020. Let's hit the guest line. Rob Ninkovich, former Patriots linebacker, two-time Super Bowl champion, joins us now. Hey, Rob, Taz on the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes here on this Thursday morning.
What's up, Rob?
Yeah, what's up, guys? How you doing? I'm doing well.
Good, yeah, man. You got it, Robbie. You look at it, you know, how do the Patriots do it so differently than everybody else as compared to other teams and the success that comes their way in the NFL?
Well, yeah, I think they have a short-term memory. So, you know, they move on to the next year very quickly. They don't dwell on the past. Bill tries to repeat that to us every year that, Every year is a new year. What's up, bud? Yeah, I'm on the phone, buddy. I got my little 2-year-old dude.
There you go.
For me.
Horrible.
That's what life's all about, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
So, you know, I think that Bill does a great job of, you know, pounding it into everyone's skull that, you know, the past is the past. That's over with. They can't help you. And if you dwell on it or even think about it, it's not going to help you be successful in the future. So, you know, I think that these guys have had a grind-it-out type season, you know, used every ounce of all the things that they're successful with, you know, running the football, play-action pass, defensively. The scheme has kind of adjusted throughout the year to help them. And, you know, they've came up with a package on defense. I think it was probably versus the Packers. And it's just been working for them. Their man coverage has done really well. Their secondary is playing at a high level. And that'll take you a long way. You know, if your secondary can play, it helps everybody. It helps the front get pressure. And, you know, they're doing a good job. So I think, you know, they're trending in the right direction at the right time.
They sure are. And they normally do, Rob, as you know. You've experienced it. So let me ask you, man, you know, how much does this Patriot team – because it seems like they love embracing that underdog role. I mean, you think that comes from Belichick? You think it's coming from Brady? Or is it just like, you know, all the veterans on the team. Where does that come from? I'm sure you buy into that too. I would too if I was on the team.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this year there's definitely been a lot of noise outside of that building saying that, you know, they're getting a little too old, you know, Bill, Tom, you know, they're not, they don't look like their normal selves.
Right.
And I mean, that can kind of, you're told to ignore all that stuff, but at the same time, you know, it's hard not to walk past the TV and you got so-called experts, you know, betting against you or talking bad about you. So, I mean, it's good to have a chip on your shoulder, right?
And yeah,
that's
of
what
course.
Makes you play at your best, highest level. You know, I think that it's – I commend those guys to have the mental toughness to power through a lot of the negativity that's out there. There's not a lot of fans outside of the New England area that want to see the Patriots be successful. I mean, let's just
– That's correct.
Let's just make
that
it
is
clear
true.
Because,
that's correct.
You know, people are jealous. I mean, what? People – you know, you win the lottery and guess what? People talk about you. Like,
right,
oh,
right,
yeah,
right.
I could have won that or I could have done that. Yeah, it was just, you know, right place, right time. All that stuff that a lot of people – when you're successful, they want to talk bad about you. So, you know, it's just like any dynasty that's been on a good run for a very long time. People just, they naturally are jealous. So it's unfortunate we live in a world of jealousy.
Yeah. Rob, when you look at this matchup on Sunday in Kansas City, at Chiefs hosting the Patriots, give us a couple things that you're looking forward to seeing how this game plays out between both teams.
Yeah, so I do a show on Mondays. It's called Monday Night Patriot, and I said that if the weather is like they say it's going to be really cold, zero or below, that the Patriots roll because they're just used to the conditions, the mental toughness of, you know, practicing and, you know, being outside. And, you know, before practice, Bill will say, all right, guys, get all your stuff on, you know, put on the layers. I don't care if it's raining, if it's zero, if it's 98. I don't care. Just go out there. We're going to practice in it because we're going to play in it. And, you know, when you have that type of mentality, it's just easier. So their team is built for just a running type style game. I think that if it's really cold, it affects everybody, but it affects more so the passing game, you know, and the kicking game. So they're very successful on the ground, and if they can run the football with success, it sets up everything else. So they'll start running the ball. It takes the crowd away. So playing at Kansas City, I mean, that crowd is very loud. But if you can run the ball, it kind of quiets everybody down. If you take away those third and tens, it quiets the crowd down. So controlling the football, running the football, time of possession, you know, that's what affects the Chiefs. So if you can take away the big plays on their offensive side and let them grind it out for 10, 12 plays and see if they can do that, you know, then it's going to be in your hands and you can play and have control of the game on your terms. It kind of makes it a lot better. So I had them winning by two scores if it's a, you know, very cold game, which I anticipate. So
So what, and I agree with you, by the way, as far as time possession, no one does that better than the Patriots. They just chop away at you, just like chip and chip and chip, and it's just, next thing you know, it's like they had the ball for all these minutes, and they just keep getting first down after first down after first down. Let me ask you, Rob, like what type of, defensively, type of scheme you think Coach Belichick, I was joking around with Moose the other day. I'm like, yo, you just picture Belichick in a laboratory, like coming up with something to stop this excellence of Patrick Mahomes and this offense. You kind of agree with that? You think Belichick's going to put a little something special in there defensively?
Well, I anticipate them jamming Kelsey at the line of scrimmage,
right.
Getting him off track. Any point he's in close vicinity to the line of scrimmage, he's going to get hit. So you hit him early, try and slow his route down. Hill, I would double Hill with some type of double coverage. Anytime he's in a within 5 yards, you're going to hit him. So if he's running a 5 yard crossing route, my linebackers are looking
pop
for him.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you're going to hit him, and you're going to hit him every time he's within that 5 yard distance to try and make him slow down a little bit. So those two guys, you got to stop those two guys. Those are your big play guys. And then with the quarterback situation, you can't run the same stuff that they were running versus the Chargers because of the fact that Rivers is a a sitting duck. He's not going to move in the pocket. He's going to be there, and he's not trying to escape to run. So Mahomes, the difference, he's looking to scramble to throw. That's a whole different set of challenges because of the fact if you're in cover five, which is man coverage, if you're any man coverage, your backs are turned to the receivers, and that's what causes big plays when a quarterback can get out because you're not in zone. You can't run up to the quarterback. Your backs are turned. So then you're going to have to take a guy out of the rush and maybe spy him. When you're in man coverage, you need one guy to keep their eye on the quarterback. And then the defensive line has to do a great job of pressing the pocket and not running behind the quarterback and creating step-up lanes to where you can step up and out. When I say up and out, B-gap usually to the right with a right-handed quarterback, that right-hand step-up B-gap lane is the most important pass rush lane. So they're going to have to press the pocket, control the pass rush, and understand that, hey, if this quarterback gets out, we can't let him scramble and throw. That's, you know, you can't cover all day. So the hardest part is covering and putting pressure on the quarterback.
You know, Rob, as you look back at your playing career, and we're talking to Rob Ninkovich, two-time Super Bowl champion with the linebacker with the Patriots and linebacker Taz and the Moose with you here on this Thursday morning on CBS Sports Radio. Look back at your Patriot career, Rob. Did you know it's always good reminiscing? Was there like kind of a welcome to the Patriots kind of moment for you, Rob?
Oh, well, yeah, probably just you're instantly being you're instantly thrown into the fire. So 2009, I was a special teams guy, and I just had barely made the roster. I was probably a 53-man on the roster at that point, and one of the guys went down on punt team, and they put me out there, and it was versus the Buffalo Bills, first game of the year, and I literally almost was cut instantly because I almost let up a blocked punt on my first play ever as a Patriot. The whole crowd was like that, ooh, because I missed the guy. So luckily the guy didn't block it. He missed the punt, and that would have been my bus ticket out of there. So I'm very appreciative that guy missed that block. But from then on, I was like, you know what? At any point, you could be at any position, and you could be, you know, pretty much – counted on by everybody to make the play. So I learned early, like, hey, it doesn't matter where you're at on the field. If you're on the roster, they're going to count on you to do something. So at that point, I made it a point. Every time I'm on the field, I'm prepared. I'm ready to play. Punt team, punt return, kickoff, defense. You never know what Bill's going to – what he's going to put on your plate. So you have to be able to play at a high level at all times – with yep. Bill Belichick as your head coach.
Rob, we got about a minute left. Why do you think some veterans go there, as we have seen in the past, and some of them have failed and not been successful in New England?
Well, I think it's the mentality you have to have, and you have to – it doesn't. Not everyone can play for New England. I mean, it's not an easy place to play. It's very challenging mentally. And, look, every year you're in the AFC Championship, 8 years in an AFC Championship. That's mentally challenging. That's a very hard task to do that. And it's a very disciplined environment. So there's a lot of other places that you can kind of do what you want to do and do it at your own pace. And, you know, veterans don't have to practice. Bill, no. If you don't practice, you don't play. So Wednesdays, you better put your pads on. We're doing 9-on-7. We're doing run fits. And if you don't want to do it, guess what? You're not playing. So – you know, I think a lot of older guys, and they come into that situation, they're like, you know, well, this is my eighth year. I don't practice on Wednesday, Thursday. I just get ready for the game. And, you know, that's not the case with Bill. He doesn't care, you know, who you are, where you're from, how many years you've been,
right.
How many Pro Bowls.
You got to do the work.
You got to do the work. And if you don't do the work, guess what? You're not going to be there. So,
well,
everybody
Rob,
does it. Everybody does it.
We are flat out of time. Hey, Rob, enjoy the game on Sunday. Best luck with the podcast. We appreciate the time
thanks,
this morning, all right?
Appreciate it, man.
All right, thanks, guys. Take care.
You got it. Rob Ninkovich, two-time Super Bowl champion with the Pats. Download that podcast, radio.com, Apple Podcasts. A couple ways you can go about doing that. Thanks to everyone. Taz, good stuff, brother.
Yes. Great job, Moose.
We out. Peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.